This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
It is FUBAR Radio. It's midday. They call me Mark Dolan. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a huge show this week. We're going to eat the news in the most satirical way possible. But first, Rihanna and Bitch Better Have My Money. Of course, one of George Osborne's famous one-liners.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, yo. La la, yeah, yeah. Bitch better have my money. Y'all should know me well enough. Bitch better have my money. Please don't call me on my bluff. Pay me what you want me. Balling bigger than LeBron. Bitch, give me your money. Who y'all think y'all fronting on? Like blah blah blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me, nigga. You just bought a shot. Your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot. I call a shot, shot, shot. Like blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want me. Don't act like you forgot. Bitch better have my money.
And this is Mark Dolan Eats the News. Over the next hour, myself and two luminaries from the world of comedy will take satirical aim at the week's big stories. And what a week it's been. Referendum fever continues to hit the UK as we consider our long-term relationship with Europe. Jeremy Clarkson has announced he is backing staying in the EU. And if we vote to leave, he said he's going to punch everyone in the face. Crufts was another roaring success this year, celebrating the most inbred creatures on the planet. The winner was Fido, a dog that doesn't molt and can't see, breathe or eat. It's basically a cushion with eyes. Adorable! You got to see the pictures! The junior doctors took further industrial action against new government contracts this week. I don't want to take sides on this. That's not how we roll at FUBAR Radio, but isn't it nice to see posh people striking for a change? You know, with their hunter wellies, drinking their lattes from Pret. It's just nice, isn't it? Just very civilised. And finally, yesterday, saw a budget that had more magic tricks than the late, great Paul Daniels could have dreamed of. Yes, in a wide-ranging budget, Chancellor George Osborne dramatically cut his manifesto in half and made all of his promises on the deficit completely disappear. It was amazing! And while we're on the subject of Paul Daniels' sad passing, I don't know if you've heard the news, but the magician and entertainer Paul Daniels has passed away this morning after a short battle with cancer. Let us all at Mark Dolan Eats the News send condolences to his friends and family. It was the loss of a great entertainer and personality. We didn't tune in every Saturday night to watch magic. We tuned in to watch Paul Daniels. R.I.P. a great man. Now, let's keep it cheery. Of course, that's sad news, but this show is joyful because it's just punchy and high energy and it's just got love pouring through it. So here's, like, today's positive thought of the week, OK? If you've had a tough week, and lots of people have a tough week this week, just remember you're not the series producer of Top Gear, OK? Just remember that that's not your show, and isn't that nice? I don't know what's going to happen next. I think they're going to accidentally kill the Queen. I just think that's the only way this can go now. If Matt LeBlanc did that, it'd be quite funny because he'd do one of those kooky faces from Friends. It's like, oops, I killed the Queen, man. Oops. You know, it would be great. It wouldn't be great to kill the Queen, but I mean, he'd make the best of it because he's Matt LeBlanc. I'm so glad that music sting is over because it's time to introduce my guests who are magicians in the comedic arts. So that basically is a topical way of introducing them because it's off the back of the late, great Paul Daniels that I've said they are magicians in the comedic arts. So what they do is pull jokes out of hats, but not literally, because that I think that would be clunky. The celebrated, respected, and much loved comedian Wendy Wason, welcome to Mark Dolan Eats the News.
Thank you very much for having me.
And also the brilliantly funny and also professionally Irish Colin Chadwick, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Mark.
Now, can I be honest with you? Colin has been trying to get on the show for quite a long time, 2 years, a lot of letters and quite a few visits. And really,
Is that true?
I even moved closer.
He did, really. Yeah, studio. It's a sort of. And it's just like stalking, but like more with a. You don't have a thing about me. You just wanted to be part of the show.
Well, you're not the only person I'm stalking. That's it.
Which I think is adorable. You've got so much to say.
I've got a lot on.
You've got a lot to give. And however, it's now St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
So we've yielded to your what I would describe as campaign of emails.
Yes.
And general correspondence. To welcome you to the studio and to wish both of you an entirely happy St. Patrick's Day. It's the 17th of March, and St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland. And I think of all of the special holidays, St. Patrick's is the one that the world likes. Am I right about that? We're all on board with St. Paddy's Day, aren't we?
Everyone is, yeah.
There is no one's churlish about it. It's just like, yep, let's do this.
I'm churlish about St. Patrick's Day.
Go.
Because it's my birthday the day before, and everyone's always saving themselves.
So yours, was the 16th.
Yes, I always spent St. Patrick's Day slightly hungover.
Yeah. So you probably have a natural antipathy to Irish people only because of the hangovers.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I married one.
That's a good point. And I must say that today's my birthday. So we're very close in birth. Unfortunately, you're about a decade younger than me, but we have a very close. Well, I'm assuming so anyway, just by looking at you.
Thank you very much. I've got a lot of makeup on.
Well done.
Hangover makeup. So, I'm modelling the hangover face.
So it was.
Today.
Did you do something Paddy's Day yesterday, or
no,
did you front load it?
No, I had a chilled out day yesterday. I felt really bad because the 4-year-old said, "What are you going to do for your birthday, Mummy?" And I said, "I'm going to go for dinner with Daddy," and he went, "And not us." I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was horrible to bring it to
I've
your
got
kids,
a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old.
My treat is not being with you.
I'm afraid so. What happens is they get to that sort of cognitive stage when my eldest is 10 where they start to realise that we don't like them very much. And, you know, before it's all smoke and mirrors, isn't it? And
they kind of...
It's abstract.
My 40-year-old and 11-year-old, I do like them. I just like it better when they're at home with a sitter and I'm having a glass of wine without having to say, come on, eat up.
No, I tell you what, you know, everyone knows I'm joking. I think what it is, I think with children, it's a bit like with your spouse, which is that if you can be apart from them, it enables you to love
nicer.
Them again.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Cole, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
You live in the UK now.
Yes.
So you're a plastic paddy, really, aren't you?
I suppose I am, yeah.
He's wearing one of those.
Plastic paddy?
Wannabe Irishman?
Yeah, I suppose as soon as you leave Ireland, you kind of get treated as somewhat of an outsider.
Yeah. So
It's kind of like people might think I'm too good for Ireland. That's the opinion people have.
Oh, it's one that was, would you catch yourself on?
Yeah. So if I tweet about being in England, people kind of roll their eyes, and I can feel it through the internet that people don't like it. I went to the English St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. In Trafalgar Square,
right,
and it felt strange.
You've not lost it. You're wearing one of those "I've Got Irish Roots" T-shirts, which I think is adorable.
Yes,
just in case we forget.
And "Kiss Me, I'm Lonely and Irish" as well on the back. And
it's a lot of writing. I spent half an hour reading your clothes.
I keep having to add stuff to it because I'm not getting the reaction I want. So I'm just having to add slogans and things like that. But
my father-in-law's got a real issue with the fact that my kids have English accents. Even though their dad's Irish. Mm. So when he's come, he has to sort of say, yeah, it's my grandson, but he lives in England and that's why he talks like that.
Okay, because yeah, I'm worried.
It's affliction.
I keep having to practice my Irish accent and make sure it doesn't go. There's certain words that help.
Now, even, Colin, we must get... Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. What are those words?
Even things like, I can hear my own accent when I say Ireland, and when people ask where I'm from, and Ireland. I feel like I'm doing a voiceover on a Guinness ad or something.
How would you say it?
I can't say it now without Ireland. Thinking of Ireland. I'm from Ireland. I feel like I'm putting an extra syllable in there or something.
Well, it's the most elegant.
To the States, you go to America and you say, can I have a glass of water, please? Can I have a glass of water? And like, sorry, I'm sorry. Like, water, I'm sorry. Water. Oh, water. So then after a long time, you're bound to start pronouncing it in a way that you're going to be understood.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we were just walking down the sidewalk, you and I, earlier today, and, you know, you said, oh, man, I've just been on the freeway. It's very easily done. It's because we spend a lot of time in LA.
You know, I think America's got a much more dynamic language than we have. They say sidewalk, and we're like pavement, which is a thing, whereas sidewalk is something that's actually moving, or freeway, it's moving. Motorway.
Well, definitely, there's something very lyrical about American language, I completely agree. And because America has been a sort of cultural and also technology, beacon for the last sort of 50 or 60 years, you sort of think, well, it's influenced. A good example is voicemail. Like, we used to call it answer phone message. You know, and the Americans like, voicemail. It's like, it's a voice and it's a mail, which is nicely done. Quality time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these expressions. It's true. America is American English is very lyrical and a bit poetic. And, of course, rap has added to that, I think.
That's complex ghetto poetry, isn't it?
You're right there. You haven't got that. You haven't got that wrong. So you celebrated St. Patrick's Day in London at Trafalgar Square.
Yes.
And were you performing?
No. Not that I remember anyway. But I went down and it was strange, you see, because it was all in the middle of the day from 12 until 6. And it was all so polite.
Right.
And very sunny. And people were still drinking. But and openly drinking in public.
Can you drink
but
in the streets?
That's what I was trying to figure out. People were just drinking.
You can. Do we have rules? I think you can't drink on the transport network.
Oh, my God forbid you get drunk on a bus.
Yeah. Too right. I think you're all right on the street
best
still.
Best place to get drunk.
Well, find out later.
Well, I've never understood in America, people drink in public, but they put their drink into a brown paper bag. Like, are we supposed to think they're having Sprite or something?
Is that to sort of hide the alcohol from the rest of the public, or is that to hide it from the police?
Well, now there's a question.
And I wonder if it varies depending what race you are in America, because, you know, certain races get off a little bit more favourably from police attention than others, don't they?
Well, that's been said.
I believe that's the case.
A quick Google search will confirm that there's a degree of truth in that.
I believe that's the case.
Are we going, in this country now, in the UK, off the back of yesterday's budget, are we going to be drinking cans of Coca-Cola and Fanta and Sprite from a brown paper bag? Such will be the shame of consuming a high sugar drink, because of course the Chancellor has introduced a sugar tax, which will make your can of Coke and Lucozade and all the rest of it more expensive.
But only on soft drinks. What about bread or sweets and all the sugar that's in that? We're not taxing them.
Yeah, chocolate is ignored as well.
Yeah,
I think it's
I don't understand. It's almost like he thinks we're stupid.
Well, here's the thing. Clearly, it's not comprehensive. Clearly, it has the whiff of politics because we're all talking about the sugar tax and we're not talking about some discrepancies in terms of economic growth and the budget deficit.
And also things like women's tampon tax paying for our own refugees when we get beaten up. Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
Tampons are a luxury item, as you know, because we have to pay for the privilege of not hemorrhaging over bus seats. And he said, no, it's okay. The reason you're getting taxed on it is the tax on tampons goes towards women refugees. It's like, oh, thanks. So if we get beaten up, which is probably also our fault as well as bleeding, the tampons are going to pay for it. Excellent work.
Well, you see, that's it. That's what I mean. Clearly, there is a lot of smoke and mirrors in every single budget. A budget is as much a political event as it is an economic one. But I wonder whether it is going to change attitudes to the idea of picking up a soft drink and consuming it. I just wonder whether
it's going to be a tax on the poor again. Is anyone in the country going, oh, hang on, soft drinks are bad for us? That news just, does anyone not know that?
Middle class people know that, don't they? And their parents sort of ration. Do you ration the amount of sugary drinks your kids have?
They don't get sweets they get sweets on a Friday and they eat so much they feel violently sick and so don't eat it again for the rest of the week until Friday comes around again and they forget.
Yeah.
But they don't
sounds like adults and drinking, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, that just sounds like the same basic thing.
I must have a sweet again.
It's the binge drinking platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, the formula.
Maybe I'm teaching them how to binge drink.
I just wonder whether, okay, it's not definitive, it's not comprehensive, but it might be a step in the right direction, Chadwick?
I don't know. They say to curb childhood obesity. I think that's the only form of obesity that you can grow out of, though. If they just give it a few years, it'll be adult obesity and they'll beat it that way.
But why don't they just make exercising cheaper?
Yes, I think that would be good, a cheap exercise. Or milk is healthy, so if you add some milk to your Coke...
But milk's not healthy, Milk's not healthy. Milk is to grow a tiny calf into a big fat cow really quickly.
Yes.
So with humans drinking that, it's not good for you.
Turning into a cow quickly.
Yeah, it's turning into a big fat cow really quickly.
But they've left milk out of this, though. They're
just
claiming
wonder whether
it's healthy. So.
I think it's messaging, though, isn't it? I think it's the sort of what it is. It
Are you going to tell us it's a step in the right direction, Mark?
I'm going to tell us it sets the precedent of taxing unhealthy foodstuffs.
Okay.
And that was a big watershed, especially for a conservative government who are generally against taxing corporations. They hate that. It's not in their DNA to use tax as a way of making companies do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think George Osborne's probably done it purely for image purposes. It makes him look a bit groovy and like he cares about this problem. It's a distraction from the shortfall. As I say, his sums don't add up in terms of the deficit at the moment.
And they've always got money for war.
Always.
I was shocked that 20 minute vote about war, but whether we should go to war, and then straight away they're interviewing MPs outside and there's planes going overhead already.
But here's the question. Would you rather this sugar tax did not exist?
No, I'd rather money was spent on educating people about food. I mean, like the Iron Brew, I'm worried about AG Barr, obviously. I'm very proud of Scotland.
Which is a great Scottish drinks manufacturer.
It's a great Scottish drink. Iron Brew is the most extraordinary drink for many reasons, but mainly because it makes Scotland the only country in the world where Coca-Cola is not the number one selling drink.
It's amazing.
Iron Brew is.
Is that correct?
It is.
Quite amazing. Then there are there are some great Irish soft drinks, aren't there? Red lemonade.
Red lemonade, yes.
Sidona, are you familiar with
Sidona? Sidona, yes, which is kind of like cider, non-alcoholic cider.
It is, really. It's a way of getting kids into the idea of alcohol early doors.
It's getting their palate ready for
alcohol. If you go straight
alcohol.
In with a cider, it's going to be bitter.
Yeah,
start you off on 50
Because then you can control how much alcohol you add to your own cider by taking Sidona and vodka.
Has Ireland got an obesity problem, do you know? I know you've been out for ages now.
I don't think so. It's probably the same as what we have in the UK here. In the UK. It's probably the same. I think people are just getting very relaxed and don't exercise. They don't need to fight for food the way they used to.
Yeah.
In Ireland. They say that the body naturally will store fat for difficult times. It's an evolutionary thing. So I think if people aren't finding and fighting for their food, they're going to get fat.
Mark Dolan doesn't look like he stores fat for difficult times.
Yeah.
The thing is, I read a lot of Joan Bakewell, so I'm terrified of being called anorexic and narcissistic. There's Joan now. Leave it, dear.
And I do think the fact that there's going to be extra money going into the NHS, I think, from this tax is great.
And also, do you know what? I tell you what I really think. I do think it's only... it's only one particular policy, and there need to be a joined up set of policies which really hurt the food companies, because I do personally hold them responsible, because there are no big corporations pushing broccoli and there's no advertising budget for broccoli.
There's no money in broccoli.
Pardon?
There's no money in broccoli.
Exactly. Broccoli hasn't got a global HQ in San Francisco.
They need to rebrand it. Some kind of broccoli 2.0 or iBroccoli or something like that. Yeah.
And also broccoli light, because it's famously very fattening. So, you know, broccoli life, broccoli without sugar would be appreciated.
Yeah, add sugar to it.
But I think that there is one thing.
But they reckon sugar is more addictive than heroin.
Well, there you go.
That's why when people say, I start a packet of biscuits, I've got to finish it.
But Train Spotting is a better movie than Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I don't know. I'd argue with that.
And I wanted to say, I do think one thing, and I'd love to know what you think at Foo Bar Radio, whether you think this is a good idea, will it change your habits, all the rest of it. I'm going to disagree with you about biscuits and chocolate versus soft drinks, and here's why. Because I think a soft drink is like, it's like an invisible calorie. It's the intake of sugar that you're not even aware of, that you don't even appreciate. So youngsters, there's a Power League place near where I live, and my son, who's 10, goes there and plays football. And the fridge is stocked full of, it's like Ribena, Coca-Cola, Sprite, all this stuff. So if he's thirsty, he's like, well, I'll have one of those, because that's what the choice is. And that's his hydration. And Jamie Oliver, who, by the way, is behind the sugar tax originally. So, you know, this is not hydration. It's like a sort of chocolate bar in a can. So I think the problem is that it's invisible calories. I don't think anyone really appreciates it. Like, I just love my Coca-Cola. No, I just think you buy it and you down it and you don't really appreciate it. So it's kind of... Whereas I think people are conscious that a chocolate bar is a treat. They're like... I'm going to eat a chocolate bar now. This is a thing which is a treat. And I think it's just inherently obvious that that's the case. Whereas I think people drink soft drinks and think that they're rehydrating.
They reckon the amount of chemicals that are in, because if you drank Coca-Cola with the amount of sugar that's in it, it would be too sweet. You'd be like, there's no way I can drink that. So what they have to do to counterbalance that is put loads of different chemicals in it to make the sugar consumption more palatable than it would be naturally. And that terrifies me.
Yes.
The amount of shit in Coca-Cola so that you can actually swallow 17 teaspoons of sugar.
You see, I tell you what, and on that...
Sorry.
On that rather powerful bombshell, it's very, very big. Lots of big more stories to get through this week. We've also got some very special guests outside who are joining us in the studio. We are being joined by the MK Dons footballers who were at Cheltenham at the Racing Festival.
Did you see my face there, Mark? I was like, they better bloody not be.
No, they are. They're joining us. But they're just, at the moment, they're just pissing into a pint glass because, you know. However, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, is football out of control? And are footballers the last professional group who are simply... independent of the law, and we're going to talk much more besides. It's FUBAR Radio. At FUBAR Radio is how you communicate with us. Dolan at FUBARradio.com is the email, and of course you can tweet us anytime with your views. We're going to play a record now, and this is in keeping with the budget of yesterday, and these are the Beatles and Taxman.
Let me tell you how it will. One for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. The tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. If you drive a car,
I tax the street.
If you try to sit,
I tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I tax your
tax man.
the news on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio, which is the UK's largest ad-free online radio station, and I've just had a big slice of cake, a birthday cake, because I'm 35 this year. It's a big year, obviously. And the truth is that it's delicious, but it's full of sugar, salt, butter, and God knows what else, and probably something slightly toxic that my wife has added to it just to kind of really, just to finish me off.
Estrogen.
Yeah, that's the plan. I've definitely got the moobs. I can feel that. And therefore, you know, I think we all struggle, don't we, in this country to be healthy. It's like, and I think the Irish are the same. My parents are Irish and I've got a lot of Irish friends and family and everything. And I think on these islands, there's a degree of self-destructiveness. And I don't know whether it's because we all just think, let's enjoy our lives, let's have some fun, or whether it's because we're all clinically depressed because of the weather. But I mean, as a Scots woman,
yeah,
the Scots are not always culturally the most sort of healthy living, are they? So is it a British problem, this, and an Irish problem?
I mean, I think it's quite funny how people mock other people that are trying to live, eat healthily. And when you speak to anyone who's into nutrition, you'll be like, oh, don't you have pizza as a treat? Or have a slice of cake as a treat? And they're like, why would I eat something that's bad for me as a treat? And if you eat cleanly and you eat healthily, and I know a lot of people think it's bollocks, but I don't. If you eat cleanly and you have a slice of cake, the next day you have a bit of a food hangover.
Mm.
And you feel that sort of clogging up and that heaviness.
So what have you done? Inspire us today on
Inspire
St. Patrick's
you.
Day.
What
change did you
alcohol.
Make?
I drink alcohol because, let's face it, life's too short. And also, I went to this clinic, the Mayor Clinic, that is really interesting. And they have this sort of philosophy about food and mindful eating. Rather than just sitting down and chucking food down your throat, just looking at your food and appreciating it in the way that we were talking about, when you chew, it's really important to chew loads of times because that's the first step of digestion.
Mm.
But if you look at your food and take it on board before you actually eat it, your stomach's getting ready as well and smelling it, and that's all part of eating, so that you're not just wolfing food down and then feeling full and bloated.
All right. And so what have you cut out? Are you
gluten-free?
Gluten.
I don't eat gluten, no.
All right. And what's the difference?
I feel lighter and I don't feel sluggish.
I tried to carry you earlier and I did notice the difference.
You're always carrying me. No, I don't eat gluten. I'll occasionally have dairy, but not really. I don't really miss it.
Yeah.
And I feel healthier.
This
and
is all just like
vegetables.
White noise to Colin, who's only left Ireland a few months ago. So this is just,
I still eat potatoes.
This is goggledygook. Am I being stereotypical here?
No, I don't think so. The way I see it is, it's cheaper to die younger. So, and you also get to do what you want more often. So I that's what we were talking about chewing, because I don't do that really. I have a problem with...
You famously
swallow
straight
food
away.
Like a pelican. And
is that true?
Do you get acid reflux?
I do get acid reflux. I also have a hernia in my esophagus, a hiatus hernia, which doesn't help. So often I can feel food stuck in my esophagus.
You've got a really interesting body.
It kind of does its own thing. I feel like I'm not in control of it.
So when I say that stuff about healthy eating and chewing, you're like wah 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 wah, but then you see I get acid reflux and I
appreciate it, but I feel like it,
but it doesn't mean I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. I can see the benefits of it, but ultimately if I don't have to worry about a pension. You know, I don't think I'm going to live to that age. So I'm saving money in two different ways.
But what if you do live to that age? And also the way our government's going, you're going to have to be paying for your health care.
That's so true, but I feel like I'm gambling.
Happy
on
St.
the
Patrick's
odds.
Day,
I feel like, well, it's a good day to do it. I feel like I could do something healthy, but then I could gamble on the fact that I'm going to die sooner than expected.
Living unhealthily or healthily is related to our general sense of optimism, isn't it, about the future, in fact, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, in a way, I don't know, eating the wrong food and stuff, it's self-destructive. It's almost a form of depression, really, isn't it, in a sense, that people are just sort of poisoning themselves, really, just with rubbish.
I do worry about pesticides a lot, though. That really frightens me, and sort of you hear more and more people dying of cancer, and you think, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, I don't know if there's any, but the connection between rising cancer rates and pesticides on food frightens me a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, let's keep it frightening, because let's talk about Premier League footballers.
Oh.
Shamed footballer's wag comes out fighting after disgraceful scenes at Cheltenham as stars caught relieving themselves in a glass are hit with heavy fines, and one admits, "I don't want to be known as this idiot that urinated into a pint glass."
Too late, mate. Too late.
MK Dons midfielder Samir Carruthers, who earns around £2,000 a week, was caught urinating into an empty pint glass. Pictured with Bristol City defender Luke Ayling as he perches then full glass on balcony hanging over walkway. Northampton Town's James Collins then goes one worse, throwing his own urine over the balcony at the races. Oh my God. Anyway, Ayling's girlfriend has said, "Don't believe everything you read." The truth is that whether or not these stories stand up, we have pictures of these guys doing this. And
why do they want to defend them? I don't understand. If my husband did something like that, I'd call him out. I'd go crazy.
Yes.
I'm like, no, don't believe anything. We're not believing everything we read. We're watching the newspaper of your boyfriend's penis in a glass that's filling up with fluid.
Now, does this tell us something wider about, I don't know, young British men and just the fact that they've got no respect?
Well, I'm worried about footballers because it's getting worse. That there was
Just blokes? Isn't that a lad's problem?
It's just blokes. Like in the sort of days of when I loved football, like Gordon Strachan, was it like the managers would encourage these young men who are earning a fortune to settle down and have a family, and the wife would then look after the footballer, and it wouldn't have to be the manager throwing boots at his head or screaming at him.
It's true.
It would be the wife's taking care of it, and they'd have more to lose because they'd have a wife and they'd have a family. So there's a setup there. There's a care. But now you've got like Ched Evans and Adam Johnson and all these people are doing despicable, horrific things, and although because they can score on the pitch, they get applauded on the pitch. You see like wife beaters and drug addicts and drunk drivers all on the field being applauded by the fans because they can score a goal.
Now this is clearly a problem. It's clearly an industry where this kind of behaviour is actually indulged or tolerated, Colin. But I just wonder whether these chaps are unlike, they're the same as every other lad out there. It's just that they've got a budget and a bit of sort of social position.
Yeah, I think the saying is people who urinate in glass toilets shouldn't throw stones. So I don't want to really have a go at them. When I first saw it, I thought, why didn't they just use a frosted glass? You know, for a bit
classy,
of privacy.
Classy, but you were well brought up.
I know where to urinate.
Colin uses a Tupperware mug, which I think is
I've got it there.
Is absolutely
in a brown
right.
And paper bag.
Although the lid is kind of losing its seal, it's aging a bit.
And what's amazing, because of your lifestyle, your urine has got more sugar in it than
that's
Sprite.
It. They're gonna. I think it's going to be taxed. It's got that much sugar in it. But people are saying it's just lads being lads. I don't know if that's true or not. I kind of blame the way they're looked after, these footballers. You know, they kind of get everything done for them. So I want to know where their urine handlers were when this was happening.
It's a very good point.
Why wasn't someone there to take it off their hands and to show them what to do with it? Because these footballers get so well looked after, they don't know what to do in that situation.
And also, you know, I think I'm going to defend these guys because I think you can't have it both ways, right? Because then, you know, we wish all these years that Maria Sharapova had done more pissing into glasses. You know, and that's the flip side of it. Is that she?
Do we wish that
if she'd only got her urine out there, this whole terrible
get
scandal
your urine out for the lads.
Yeah,
see, that's sure
and
I
then
concur.
Check it and realise it had more chemicals than you could dream.
See,
of.
Yeah, that's, they missed out on that. See. Oh, it was a sample. There was someone down below who needed to do a test, a drug test. So I just passed it down to him. And
there's going to be some new product from AG Bar, isn't it? We're getting taxed on Iron Brew now. So buy your own footballer's urine here. Yeah. It's healthy and performance-enhancing drinks.
I think it's just a matter of time. Let's be honest. Let's move on to another story. And it's about anorexia, actually. And it's Joan Bakewell, who is a highly respected and very experienced broadcaster and journalist. In fact, she's a baroness now, Baroness Joan Bakewell. And she said, the rise of eating disorders such as anorexia among teenagers is a sign of narcissism in society. In an interview in the Sunday Times, when she's chairing the Wellcome Book Prize panel, she said she was alarmed by the illness. No one has anorexia in societies where there is not enough food. It was a sign of the overindulgence of our society, over introspection, narcissism, really. Now, she has sort of jumped in after that interview, after the fallout from that interview, and sort of tried to put her comments into context. I think maybe that headline sort of statement is something that she doesn't really stand by and regrets any offence caused. But the bottom line is the spirit of what she's saying is clear for all to see, which is, Wendy, that we're all up ourselves. It's like it's the selfie generation. We're obsessed by.
Why did you say Wendy when you said that?
Don't know.
Who knows? Just looking in the mirror. Shush.
Correct. But I don't know. I mean, it's a strange thing to say.
Anorexia. And I think in societies where there's not much. I mean, in the olden days, it used to be a sign of wealth to be fat because you had loads of food. Whereas now it's a sign of wealth to be thin because it shows that you've got some kind of control and discipline. Look at Victoria Beckham. She's like. They're famously rigid about her diet and doesn't eat, you know, eats grilled fish and broccoli. But I heard it's a good thing. But I think it's spectacularly.
That's why she never
unhelpful.
Smiles.
She might have it in her teeth. I think it's spectacularly unhelpful of her to say that for children that are young girls. And my daughter's 14. There's loads of her friends at school that are getting that. And I don't believe it's all narcissism. I think they're under pressure with your Kim Kardashian and her selfies and all these sort of. But then Kim Kardashian's not anorexic. She's. They all look up to her, but she's a sort of a curvy, healthy woman. So I don't know if it's just.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, this in some ways makes Kim Kardashian a very forgivable public figure. We know that she's famous for being famous and also the.
She's famous for her vagina, Mark.
She is, let's be honest. But. You know, at least she's quite a good role model for females, which, as you say, is a real woman with a real body,
yeah,
real curves. Just like you, you're a real woman with a real body and
real curves.
Real
curves, yeah. As Wendy was saying, my weight kind of illustrates my financial situation, the way it fluctuates. It's odd. I think people are narcissistic. I don't think this is related, though.
I think that's a really good point. So it's there, but you can't link it to.
Yeah, I don't think it's linked. I think it's insane the amount of photos of themselves people have these days. If 20 years ago you walked into someone's house and they had as many photos of themselves printed out hanging on the wall as they do online, you would think they were insane.
Yes.
I always think it's bizarre, you know, like in an OK or a Hello magazine, and some celebrities always got a piano full of photographs.
Oh, yeah.
And in the photographs, it's always them with other famous people.
Yeah.
It's just so bizarre. Like, it's like you going, look who I've met.
Yeah. It's odd. It's I don't know if I've ever taken many selfies, but if anything, I'm the opposite. I cover up all the mirrors in my house.
Oh, no, that's
with,
not right.
With out of order signs. I think the world would be a better place if people never saw their own reflection. I think that would
probably,
be.
By the way, you'd be liberated though if you never looked in the mirror. You'd be free from worrying about it. I got to tell you that when I was a teenager, I got spots when I was about 15 or 16. I got acne, and it was bad acne, and it really dented my confidence. And I was short sighted. And when I went out with my friends. Just before I went out, I'd put my clothes on, I'd look in the mirror, and I would deliberately not have my glasses on. So I checked the mirror without my glasses, just so I couldn't see accurately what I looked like.
And were you tall as well when you were young?
Yeah, I was gangly and spotty, and it was just horrific.
Teenage years are a hard year, because I had acne, and it's hard to have a sort of an affliction, because teenagers aren't the sort of most nurturing, kind people.
No.
They're like, if they see a weakness, they're like, it's the pack mentality where they know that they're okay if they can point out someone else's fault.
That's it. And you kind of just want to look like everyone else, you know, and you don't want to stand out for the wrong reasons.
I got boobs really early, which was horrendous. And because, like, it's amazing how many male friends you get at 12 when you've got 30.
Colin's shaking his head.
I'm just, I the same thing happened to me. I got boobs early.
But really, how can becoming a woman early doors be
because
traumatic?
Because everyone else looks like a little girl. And I remember being at a wedding, I remember getting called over. I was at the swimming pool with my friends, and we were like 13. And I got called over by one of the poolside attendants, and he said, "How old are you?" And I was kind of like, and I was frightened because I thought I've done something wrong because that's my child mind. But I didn't know he was looking at me going,
"Yeah, that's an odd
thing." He called me over and
he
said, "How old are you?" And I said, 14. He went, "Oh, we thought you were much older." And I was like, "Okay, I'm sorry, and walked away. And that's only now that I'm 40, I'm like, "You prick.
Yeah,
creepy. You utter prick."
Well, just a bit. Actually, we've just mentioned décolletage and the cleavage. We're going to talk about the Home Secretary's.
Well.
No, we're going to talk about the Home well just a bit. We're going to talk about the Home Secretary's boobs. Here's what you're listening to now.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Now, it does seem like yesterday's budget was an awful lot of smoke and mirrors. Lots of announcements which are designed to grab the headlines so that we wouldn't focus on what is considered to be a gap in where economic growth is at and where George Osborne's deficit reduction plan sits currently. And there appears to be a bit of a yawning gap between the two. However, the other big story of the budget was the Home Secretary, Theresa May, who is one of the longest-serving Home Secretaries in British political history. I think the general rule of thumb with government is the longer you're in a post, the more successful your career is, because, you know, political careers can be very short, especially as Home Secretary when you're responsible for law and order in the country, and that's always fighting a losing battle. But Theresa May is photographed in today's Sun, it could be page three,
it's page seven. Okay.
And essentially she was wearing, she's a very accomplished and intelligent woman. Not everyone agrees with Theresa May, but I think most people respect her as a public figure. And indeed, she could be one of the front runners for the Tory leadership when Cameron hangs up his gloves. But will she be flaunting her body in order to be swept to power? Because she's photographed in a red suit, and she's showing cleavage. And it was all over Twitter, and it's like one of the stories of the budget. And she's a certain age. So, I don't know, Colin, what do you think? I mean, what's your view about a politician wearing a dress which shows you the shape of her body?
It, you see, I think they should be allowed to wear
it. Is it a story?
I don't know. I never understand stories about what someone's wearing.
It's what she's not wearing that's the issue there.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That's it. I don't know why it's a story because there's a photograph of someone looking right down the barrel.
It's not someone. It's George Osborne.
Yeah.
Wendy.
I think
what
it's
do you
outrageous
think?
That we're commenting on what she's wearing. It's the same.
I'll tell you why.
There's a problem with ageism. I think women get shit for ageism for getting the same happened. Was it Helen Mirren when she wore a low-cut top and people were like, well, she's a certain age, she should be doing that.
And it was Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon, I apologise.
Yeah.
I just kind of think she can wear what she wants. She's a respected politician.
Here's what I think, though. I think so, too, and I think she's an attractive lady and a woman of substance, which is good.
But do we have to comment on male politicians' appearance?
But she's got her tits out at the budget. Do you know what I mean? I don't think that's... It's not a question of female. It's a question
of inappropriate workwear.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Because guys
that's
don't...
That's a different issue.
You know, it's like...
Because said she's an attractive lady, she's a certain age, the which made me go, hang on a minute.
I didn't say of a certain age.
You did.
No,
you said
I said
she's a certain age.
No, I said... Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, you see. So the ageism is like... That's, it's No. I've got to tell you now that if a younger female politician also showed her cleavage on the front bench, I just think, I'm not sure that is... I don't think... Hillary Clinton would do that. I think it's a strange dress that she's worn for
Maybe
what is
Gideon
a grave occasion. Yeah, she might have done. I think it's a strange choice of wardrobe for the budget. I mean, I think the equivalent, it's like, what is the equivalent? I suppose the equivalent is Cameron sitting there without a shirt on with his button.
Now you're sounding like Cameron. My mother would say, get a good suit on, get a proper tie.
I don't know.
I'm undecided, but I do feel the need to be devil's advocate.
It depends on how much thought you think she put into it. It depends on whether you think maybe she said, "Oh, I'm going to go for something low cut." I don't think I've struggled.
Another boys at work will like this.
I struggle to think.
It's very bosomy.
Isn't it,
Colin?
I never put any thought into what I'm wearing, and I struggle to relate to anyone that thinks for that long about what they're wearing, and I don't think.
You see, I'm at an age now where I think wear what you want, and it shouldn't really matter.
I mean,
but with one caveat, when I saw the young girls at Cheltenham yesterday, in my 20s, I'd be like jealous of their figures and their long legs, whereas now I'm like, they look cold.
Yes.
Why are they going
cold
to be
and uncomfortable.
Cold? And I hope she's got a scarf for when she goes out of the House of Commons because that chest gets cold.
You have to educate me here because I suppose the question is cleavage a sexual or sensual thing, or is it not?
Are you seriously asking me to educate you on that, Mark?
Yes.
You've got two children.
Well, I'm asking what your view is.
My view is, well, for me, I think with big boobs, on a practical level, if you have big boobs, a low-cut top makes you thinner, makes you look thinner, because you can see that it's an outline of boob. If you've got a baggy top on and it hangs over the edge of your boobs like a shelf, you look fat. and nobody wants to look fat. So I'd wear a V-neck thing so that people could see its boobs and not pies.
I mean, what's interesting about
that's
it?
That's practically.
What's interesting about it is that there's a couple of things to say. I mean, yeah, let me ask
I'm
you.
Learning.
As a, Colin, as a
my ideal life would be to be a cartoon character, so I wear the exact same thing every day. I really don't like thinking about clothes. So I'm learning. This is all new stuff that I'm learning about V-necks for boobs and things like that.
Make women with big boobs look like really busty and massive. So you want a bit of flesh there. So maybe it's not. I'm going to turn the boys on at work. Look, maybe it's a. I feel attractive and confident in this dress. I'm going to wear that. And if that's the case, fair play.
Yeah, and I think that she is known also for wearing leopard skin shoes, which are like high heels, which are quite funky.
Kitten heels. Is that what they are? And practical. They're not too high.
Well, there you go. So maybe we just have to say good luck to her for daring to wear what the hell she wants when she's at work.
Mark, I'm not sure you've got a few buttons undone on your shirt.
Deliberately.
Do you want to talk us through that? Is that a fashion choice?
This
or do you think
the
you look
sexy? It's the heavage. It's the heavage. I don't know, but yeah, I wouldn't dress like this if I was delivering the budgets.
Wouldn't you?
No. Okay. Although it might take their minds off the terrible job that I'm doing.
It'd be worse if she had loads of money stuffed down there.
That would be really
inappropriate for the budget.
It might actually plug George Osborne's spending gap. So you know.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Now, let's talk about a few other things this week. I think there was a crazy overreaction to the Top Gear story in which Matt LeBlanc was driving, riding around in a dragster car near, within some proximity to the Cenotaph, which is a monument which acknowledges the war dead of this country. So it's an incredibly important, sort of representation of our history and an acknowledgement of those who gave up their lives. So what's happened is that they've shot a stunt. It's been planned, months in the planning. It's alleged to have cost the BBC £100,000 to do, and we're now never going to see it because there has been uproar about the fact that this stunt, which involves zooming around in central London in this car, was within eyeshot of the Cenotaph, and therefore that's considered offensive. Is it offensive, or is this a classic Twitter storm?
It seems like a Twitter storm to me. I don't really know much about the Cenotaph. I've just walked by it once, but I feel like no matter where you would do a stunt like that in London, you would risk offending someone. Mm. The Boots flagship store or something. Someone will take offence no matter where you do donuts in central
London. What do you think, Wendy? It's nonsense, isn't it?
I think it is nonsense, but the weird thing is I want to know what the sort of impetus behind it was, because they also had a woman dressed up as the Queen there, which... And I kind of think if the story is sort of mocking veterans with an American car, that's worth questioning. But I don't understand, because there are some people that are just professionally outraged, aren't they? There's people
yes.
that just scroll through Twitter and you'll get a tweet about something. You're like, oh, wow, that happened years ago.
People are still kind of retrospectively getting outraged.
Twitter does give a voice to morons who aren't heard anywhere else, so they get cross about things.
Yeah.
I don't know how many war veterans are on Twitter.
No, I mean, obviously some of them are, who knows? But ultimately the reason they chose this particular spot was because it's near Parliament, it's the House of Commons, it's very definitively central London. I mean, I'm amazed they got permission to do it, because it's one of the most securitized places in the world. Whitehall, near Number 10, in the current climate, the amount of CCTV and covert operations that are going on, the idea they were allowed to do a stunt strikes me as strange.
But why would it cost £100,000 to drive a car around a building?
It's a little mystifying, isn't it? And I
wonder... I would have done it for fiver. How much is the petrol? Is there an awful lot of petrol involved?
You just
in
get
that?
The feeling that in some ways there's a sort of siege mentality in the offices of Top Gear at the BBC, where they're constantly harassed because of having too many new presenters, and there seems to be one PR gaffe after the other. Chris Evans falls out with his producer and she leaves, and then They reduce the show run from 8 to 6, and then they postpone when the show's going to start. And all we're hearing is bad news, bad news, bad. And it feels a bit like a witch hunt.
I think it's quite funny that they fought hard to get rid of Jeremy Clarkson, and you've got
and
rid of
this is
the,
what they've got.
And you got rid of the head of a monster, and another one's just grown back straight away.
Yeah.
With the same gaffes and the same lack of respect and the same middle class white privilege that went on before, but just with a different monster.
I would like to know how the Queen impersonator is involved. What? Because I think
she's the one who stands with the flag, going, "Nice try."
I think when you see the ingredients for the stunt, you could imagine some really offensive stuff. And I think what people are imagining was done is going to be so much worse than what was actually there. So if anything, showing it would probably leave a lot of people disappointed. You know,
The Queen didn't even wear as low a top as Theresa May.
Yeah, that's it. I'm guessing Matt LeBlanc was asking her, how you doing?
How you doing? We'll touch on another story now, which is courtesy of Olly Murs, who has announced this week, and I don't know if there was a press release or what, but he said he's 20% gay. Now, apparently, Sasha Baron Cohen is star, a creator of Ali G, and Borat is 31% gay. Robbie Williams once described himself as 49% gay. So the issue is, in 2016, apparently we are mature enough to know gay men are in all shapes and sizes, and that essentially maybe all of us are gay in one way or another. So, Colin, how gay are you?
Well, they say 10% of the population, so I feel like I'm about 10%, if I had to guess.
And is that the 10% that likes cock?
If I was to be specific.
Can I say that? Sorry.
Yeah. You just did, and well done.
If I was to be specific, I think my hands are gay, based on how well they get on with my penis. And and my penis gets on with women in a way I'll never understand, so that might be gay as well. But that's only it works in a way
Garland.
That I'll never understand. So I think that's, I don't know how much a percentage that is. That's 4 or 5%, depending on how.
You need
depending
to do
on
one of those cosmopolitan quizzes where it's like tick yes, tick A, tick B,
yes.
tick C.
I think it's really good news because it means that in some ways it's an aspirational thing to be gay. It's almost like we're just, you know, trying to celebrate how gay we are and trying to exaggerate how gay we actually are as a way of bigging ourselves up. I mean, because I talk about this in my show, but my wife and I, we go to IKEA, and if we see a gay couple, we follow them around and just buy what they're buying.
Because they've got fair taste.
They just do. So therefore, you know, most of my heroes are gay. And I just wonder whether what's going to happen in about 50 years' time is that this categorization of gay and straight might just go.
I think there is.
You'll just be,
There must
Wendy.
Be a spectrum.
Yeah.
There must be a spectrum that we're all on.
I see. Fluid sexuality.
Yeah.
We're, I don't know, how much water are we? So we're sexually I'm the same as water.
Yeah. Hang on, what phase of the moon out? Because then I can tell you exactly how gay I am.
Yeah. It's something that I think people are starting to get competitive about their sexuality. I'm more sexualities than you are. It's almost like there's points or something. That's another sexuality point for me. I'm higher than you.
The Sun newspaper has been very helpful. Of course, it's a bastion of gay rights. Always has been,
famously,
always will be.
Famously.
They've got a few questions, and it's the How Gay Are You quiz. One is, what was the last thing you saw at the theatre? A, one of Shakespeare's history plays. B, a comedy of manners starring a middle-aged actor from Midsummer Murders. Or C, Mamma Mia, Les Mis, or My Fair Lady.
Can we spot the gay answer?
Just a
you
bit.
See, are they all slightly gay, though?
No, I think it's not. Shakespeare's history plays is proper butch. That is massively heterosexual.
I went to see Chekhov at the Almeida Theatre, which was very good, incidentally.
You see, because lots of people.
Oh, you're so straight.
Am I straight?
Yeah.
I think
because lots of people would consider the fact that you go to the theatre an indication
of gayness.
So it doesn't matter what you're seeing. So that's why I thought it might be a spectrum, like the you're slightly less gay if you're seeing Shakespeare and history,
rather than seeing The Rock.
So they're all slightly gay. Yeah, you're seeing a play about WWE wrestlers. Hamlet starring Hulk Hogan. You know, that wouldn't be gay in the theater. That might be one exception, but
that would be one of the O2. Let's face it.
Yeah, that, I kind of like that idea now. I really want to see.
I want to see Hulk Hogan on ice doing WWE. Yeah. At the O2.
At the O2.
I love it. I love it. So I've got a few others. What is your favourite Judy Garland film? A, was she M in the Bond films? B, A Star Is Born, I'm a Sucker for Tragedy, or C, The Wizard of Oz. You see, a lot of these are stereotypes, aren't they? Let's be honest. And that's the other thing which I think is going to wither away.
I was hoping for so much more from the sun.
I know, who knew? Who expected?
Is there any questions about quiche?
There really ought to be, and quinoa. I tell you what, I've had an absolutely gay time having both of you today. Using
you
the
much.
Old traditional word for gay.
Yes.
I've got a question from Bill, who's tweeted in. Thank you, Bill. And he said, "Hi, Mark, happy birthday. Thank you. I'm enjoying the show very much. Will you ask Colin, as your resident Irish person, what he thinks about the American spelling of St. Paddy's Day, as in St. Patty's Day?
Patty's Day. It kind of grates on me to hear and to say Patty is...
It's not a burger.
That's what it is. But even it just sounds like a really patronising... action. It's kind of like, it's almost like someone's patting you on the head as they say Saint Patty.
We won't be doing that then. I won't do that as we close out the show.
If you say that to an Irish person on today, that they're in Ireland, they're legally allowed to bite you.
Wendy Wason, Colin Chadwick, you've both been awesome. Happy St. Patrick's Day. See you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will play out with the Kinks. Sunny afternoon. Keep it FUBAR. Many thanks to my elite guests. It's been a blast.
Taxman's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht, he's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Live this life of luxury, blazing on a sunny afternoon. In the summertime, in the summertime, in the summertime. My girlfriend's run up with my car and gone back to her. Now I'm sitting here, sipping at my ice cold beer, blazing on the sunny afternoon. Live this life.